Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, you want to know where to go, you want to know what to eat, drink, I know you've heard this before. But if you're looking for information that's relevant, you live in Chicago, you're visiting Chicago, ChicagoReader.com is the place for you. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, he's there too. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Democrats Are Dumb of Friday, and here's why. Actually, this is What a Week, where we discuss the week's news, but we're I don't know how much week's news we're going to talk about with Ray Hanania, the legendary Ray Hanania. There's a reason why he's on the show. If you heard yesterday's show, you know why he's on the show. But before I bring Ray on, I just have to say something else in my mind. I just can't get this out of my mind. Democrats are so dumb. It is a favorite topic. Whenever David Ferris comes on the show, David Ferris, political scientist from Roosevelt University, brilliant guy, knows the insides and knows American politics inside and out, national politics, not local politics. And he wrote a book about how Democrats play the game politically and how Republicans play the game politically. And Republicans, if you could boil it all down to this, to paraphrase something an old friend of mine once said, Republicans play the game to win. Democrats play the game to run around and lose weight. They just are so clueless when it comes to politics. And so, as I always point out, Democrats in 2000 lost the presidential race, even though they won the popular vote because of the Electoral College. If that had been reversed, we would be in the year 24 of Republicans moving heaven and earth to get rid of the Electoral College. But these dummy Democrats, we can't get rid of the Electoral College because we may alienate some swing voter in suburban Milwaukee. So we're going to cling to this institution that is destroying us because we may offend some swing voter in DuPage County. It's like David Axelrod, Barack Obama, and Rahm Emanuel wrote the playbook for Democrats. There's no blue America. There's no red America. There's just the United States of America. No, it's not like that. The reason why I'm ranting and railing is because Nebraska is making a move to get rid of the Electoral College system they have there. It's too complicated for you listeners to understand. I just know this. Right now, the system works to the advantage of Democrats with this electoral map. So Republicans are going, let's get rid of it. Because they don't play. They play the game to win. They're not, I'm worried about a swing voter in suburban Milwaukee. What's the polling show us? God, don't get me started, Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania.
I always thought they should change the system because it just doesn't work. If you got money, you're better than any other candidate doesn't have any money, even if the guy without any money is a great candidate. They should put anybody that wants to run in a big field, and we just vote on them. Nobody gets to spend any money for advertising, no direct mail. They all get the same amount of time. We pick the five best people. We run five the same way, and then we get the last two, whoever they are. They get the majority of people.
If Ray Hanania ran the world, that's the way it would look. At the very least, let's get rid of the light. Before we get to your radicals thing, can we just get rid of the Electoral College system?
Yes.
Ray,
it's
no
screwed up.
System in the world, in any competitive event, does the loser win? Unless it comes to American electing the most important office in America, president, and we can't get rid of it because Republicans are too smart to get rid of it because they know it'd be a disadvantage, and Democrats are too chicken to push it. All right, don't get me. You know what? I'm going to drop it, Ray, and I'm coming back to why I invited you. So, all right, let me do the introduction Ray, and explain why you're here, making us a second appearance on the Ben Jarofsky Show. So yesterday I was interviewing Byron Sixto Lopez, alderman of the 25th Ward, who's a youngster, Ray, compared to you and me. Yeah, I don't even think he was born when Council Wars was going. All right, that's how
probably young not.
Okay,
I'm not so, sure. Half the people listening to the show remember what Council Wars is, but
they don't.
Jane Byrne, Blandick, Daily maybe, but that's it.
Baby Daily, not Daddy Daily. Baby
right.
Daily. Okay,
right.
I always have to explain to millennials before the Daily that was around when you were
Bizarro
a kid.
Daily. Bizarro yeah. Daily.
Bizarro Daily, the one who caused Ray so much problems in his life. All right. So Byron was the victim, this is me speaking, of some really brutal tactics by the MAGA crowd in the Chicago City Council to try to take advantage. We've been talking about this a lot on this show. We will continue to talk about this, to take advantage of his vulnerability, to strip him of his housing committee chair. There are many reasons why they want to get rid of him for housing committee chair, most likely because he's more sympathetic to lefty causes that than downtown development interests that they want to promote. So they want to get rid of him. As an excuse, they use the fact that he gave a speech at a rally that was protesting the Israeli assault on Gaza, the slaughter that's going on in Gaza. Before he got there, someone burned the flag, the U.S. flag. A veteran burned the U.S. flag in protest. Before Byron got there, he didn't burn the flag. That's very important. He did not burn the flag. And yet there was a movement in the Chicago City Council on Monday to strip him of his, because he was at the rally. I just thought that was a blatant attempt to get a lefty out of the housing committee chair dilute the power of progressives, whatever we're called in this city these days, and also just to promote the mayoral campaign of Bill Conway, whoever's going to run against Brandon Johnson in 2027. This is just a continuation of the ongoing.
3 years from now, they're already planning.
They've been planning from the moment, Ray. The moment.
Yeah.
That Brandon won. So Vallis was a joke, and so now they're going to come up with Billy Conway. I guess that's the guy they're going to go with. So they did this to humiliate Byron, embarrass the mayor. It didn't work. The vote went down 29-16. But yesterday I was talking to Byron, and he said there was a column written by a Ray. And what he did to your last name, Ray?
That's fine. Anania, whatever. Yeah,
whatever. And I didn't know that Ray wrote this column. And where Ray coined the term, okay, this is how I say it, the Lopez 16. Now, Ray is going to correct me on what he actually
said. All right.
Okay. And I go, and he goes, Byron goes, that's like the Verdoliak 29, only it's the Lopez 16. So we could say it's progress because there's only 16 as opposed to 29. And I go, that is brilliant. I had two thoughts. One, I was envious that I didn't come up with that line. Okay. I got to tell you, Ray, I was like, why didn't I think of that? And then two, because I'm honest, I go, every time I say this, I'm going to have to give Ray Hanania credit. Because it's just how I roll, man. You came up with it. I didn't come up with it.
You know that's going to hurt you because I'm Palestinian. They're going to use that against you. They're going to run a candidate against you to take over your podcast. They're going to get all kinds of foreign money from the lobby. They're going to be pouring money in there to replace you. You watch.
Yeah. Good luck. I've been fired already from mainstream Chicago radio because I was too lefty for the progressive station. It's kind of hard to imagine getting fired from my own podcast, but anything's possible in Chicago.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
the new host of the Ben Jarofsky Show is not Ben Jarofsky. It's Billy Bob. It's Bill Conway. So anyway, I just immediately, as soon as the recording was over, reached out to Ray. I go, Ray, you got to come on and let's take a deep dive on this. Explaining to youngsters what the Radoliak 29 is, its significance, and what the Lopez 16 is and its significance, the similarities, the differences, and then we'll get to Gaza. I know that'll come up somewhere along the line, because Ray is absolutely correct. Palestinian American. Ray, correct me if I'm wrong. You were the only Palestinian American journalist in the city of Chicago when we both got started in this game in the 80s. Am I correct?
In the 70s and 80s. In the 70s. And then in the 80s, there was one other one in Dallas, at the Dallas Morning News, another Palestinian, older than me. So we're like the only two. In fact, when I got hired at the Sun-Times, honestly, they didn't know I was Palestinian. They knew I was Arab. They just weren't sure what kind of Arab. And as always, nobody did their research, because if they knew I was Palestinian, they never would have hired me. But once they hired me, found out it was Palestinian, it was all downhill from there.
I'm going to throw something at you that I want to get to the Radoliak, but I don't think most Americans would distinguish Palestinians from any other kind of Arab.
No, they don't. They don't. But if you're worried about Palestinians, you will. I mean, that whole thing with Jackie Mason we talked about before. He loved me when he thought I was Jordanian. I was an Arab comedian. He was on my show, and I was going to open for him after September 11th. And then somebody told him I was Palestinian, and he went berserk. And that's what the whole fight was about. If I had been Jordanian, there wouldn't have been a problem. So it's there, but it doesn't come out as often.
All right. I'm going to say
we've already
right
covered
now.
10 topics right
10
now.
10 topics. And then most of my minutes. Listeners. Yeah. I got to say this. Ray is a publicist, and he does work for Republicans. So he.
Well, and Democrats. No. Seriously. Not just Republicans. Democrats. Chris Getty, Steve Landeck, Mike Porfirio, Lisa Hernandez, Mike Hastings. I helped Mike Hastings in the last election. And he credits me with helping him save his job. But, and I always say this, because this is the new world of journalism. I don't care. People get mad at me. They go, oh, you're on both sides of the fence. Yes, I am. But I always tell people when I'm on one side where I'm at, and when I'm on the other side where I'm at. If I write about anybody that I'm working for, which is rare, I will say I work for them. I don't hide it. I don't lie. It's just the way it is. That's, you can't make money in journalism today. You're in poverty, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah.
We're going to do a fundraiser for you.
All right. So it's actually closer to the truth. One of the stories of this week is how, WBZ, and the Sun-Times, the conglomerate that owns that entity, is firing, I think 15, yeah. I'm doing this off the top of my head, 50%. It's outrageous. And it's a nonprofit. And so their board is making, Tracy Baim had the numbers. The board is making some outrageous amount, and they're firing journalists. So yeah, it's a really precarious time.
It's terrible.
For the industry. And Ray started out with, he started out with the Southtown. When I moved to Chicago in 1981, I believe you were still with the Southtown. I used to read your columns.
Till 85.
Yeah. And so, I'm going to say this before we get going. Ray Hanania is a very funny man. He's a very smart man. He studied under Milton Rakoff at UIC. Millennials, just go look him up. Rakove. All right. I'm not even going to explain.
Two of the best books on Chicago politics. Don't make no waves. Don't back no losers. One of them. And we don't want nobody sent.
Yeah. For 10 trivia points, let's see if Ray can pull this off. Who is he quoting? And we don't want nobody that nobody sent.
I'm going to say Vito Marzullo.
Wow.
I can't remember.
You're wrong.
I can't remember.
It's an oral history. So it's a book of recollections by various politicians.
Yes.
And Abner Mikvah, may he rest in peace. Abner Mikvah, the great liberal icon.
Was he the one?
Yeah. He was the one who said there he was a kid in law school at University of Chicago. And he stopped in the 8th Ward, Democratic
office and ask for a job, and they go, "Who sent you?" And he goes, "Nobody." And he go, "Well, we don't want nobody that nobody sent." Which I don't know.
It was a committeeman of the 8th Ward at the time.
Said it.
Taylor Pouncey, maybe one of those guys.
No. It was when it was white. It was when it was a white. The 8th Ward was white. This is the '40s or whatever. Anyway, neither here nor there. So the
great
the
line guy, though.
It's a great line. The guy knows Chicago politics. I used to read him when he was at Southtown. Then he came to the Chicago Sun-Times. He was a city hall reporter throughout the 80s. Switched to the county beat in the 90s. Then lost his job at the Sun-Times. We could do a whole show on how he lost his job. I just want to say that. Nobody would hire him in journalism. He pissed off Daily. Baby Daily. And so as a result, he went into PR. So my journalist friends out there, get off your high horses. Nobody would hire the man. He has to feed his freaking family. He has to pay the bills. All right? So get off your high horse about Ray Hanania. For years, I just got to say that, Ray, all right? Your politics are a little to the right of mine, but I can't hold
it. I'm a conservative a little bit.
A little bit? Good.
Well, I'm Arab. You know, Arabs are conservative. That's the irony of this whole thing. We're conservative. Religion in schools. We want women in the kitchen. You know, we want prayers in the school. I'm not against. I have the Seinfeld attitude about gays. There's nothing wrong with it. But we don't support gay rights. We don't support transgenders. You know, we don't discriminate against them. And you know, so we're basically conservative. But we've ended up in the Democratic Party because we're easy to pick on.
Well,
very easy.
So just so you know, when he uses we, the way he's using, he's speaking in the most general term. Literally not every Arab American subscribes to your point of view. There are plenty of don't. Okay. So I understand. He's speaking.
There are a couple in the gulag. There are a couple in the gulag, I'm sure.
But I will point out that it was just a year ago, and Ray knows what I'm talking about. And we talk about this all the time. In Detroit, Hamtramck, there was a movement by, I think, every member of that city council. Am I correct on this?
Yes.
Arab American. And they voted against having any flags flown anywhere because they were upset.
They didn't want the gay rights flag.
There you go.
But let me just point out, this is the lack of education in this country. They're actually Chaldean, which is kind of like an Assyrian. They're not really Arab. If you call them Arab, they will beat you. They will skin you alive and barbecue you. Chaldeans are Iraqi Christians who embrace Arab culture, but are not Arab. So you're right. I mean, listen, people in America can't tell the difference between a Palestinian and a Pakistani. How do I expect them to understand people wearing, Arab culture in Hamtramck?
All right.
And why would an Arab move to a city that has the name Ham in it? Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make sense. By the way, he's also a stand-up comedian, as you could tell by that last joke. Is that the first time you've ever said that, or is that?
No. I was in front of 20,000 Muslims in London doing a comedy show, and one of my first questions was, who the heck sold you these homes in Hampton? Do you not speak English? Ham is ham. It's haram, which is wrong. It's bad. You shouldn't have anything to do with ham. And you live in ham. It's on your driver's license. It's on your ID forms. So they were nuts. Yeah, they were laughing like crazy. And then they were going to burn me because they didn't want to accept the reality of where they were at. That's the only bad problem with Arabs.
All right. I'm not going to pursue that one because we could go further down a tunnel. I want to get back to Chicago.
Subject 20. Let's go back to subject one.
So we began with the fact that you came up with that line, which I, by the way, I actually turned what you said into what I said. What? He didn't say the Lopez 16. He said something
else. I wrote the Tabarez Lopez 9. Yes. Because originally it was 9 city council members who wanted to strip Alderman Byron Sitcha Lopez of the of his committee responsibilities. It was nine of them. And so I thought, wow, this is just the opposite of what happened last time, except they can't get the vote. And they got nine of them. And I said, why let them off the hook? This is no different than what the Verdole Act 29 tried to do. It was a, this is a power grab. And then when that didn't work, they sent a letter that five aldermen signed, you know, saying, oh no, this is about Sigcho Lopez disrupting the meeting by bringing protesters into the city council. That was the letter she, you know, that I like Silvana Tabarez. I think she's completely wrong on this. I like Ray Lopez. Well, at least I really did like him before when he was fighting for the rights of Arab businessmen who Lori Lightfoot was shutting down because it was the easiest way to respond to street gang violence, to say, we shut that Arab store down where the violence happened. And people go, oh, thank God, it's going to be safer. But it wasn't. She shut down 100 Arab businesses. So he did the right thing. And then they flipped. They flipped and they voted against the ceasefire to stop killing people. And I was shocked at how easily they did it, because it was the politically right, politically beneficial thing to do.
See, okay, so there, here's where you and I part. So I don't know Tabarez. You know her. She's the alderwoman of the 23rd Ward. I know Raylo. He used to come on the show until finally I just said, that's ridiculous. He's always on Fox. You don't need to be on my show at Fox.
Yeah, he went off the deep end.
He went off the deep end.
He really did.
A great guest when he was on in the old days. A very funny guy, witty, quick on his feet, Raylo, Raymond Lopez, alderman of the 15th Ward. But politically speaking, both of them are more where you are, on the right.
I think I was more conservative. I hate to say the right, because I'm in the middle, leaning to the right. Honestly, I'm a conservative. But in today's world, if you're not far left or you're not far right, you know, there's no in between anymore. It's like, oh, you voted for Trump. Yeah, I voted for Trump because I hated Hillary. And then when Trump ran a second time, I voted for Biden because I hated Trump. And now I'm going to vote for Robert F. Kennedy because I can't handle Biden. What am I going to do?
So here he's a Trump, essentially a Trump voter.
That's enough. That's like an indictment. That's a conviction right there. Only one Trump time voter. It's over.
And if I may, the dumbest reason for voting for Trump. Well, we're not going to repeat.
Hillary did the same thing that Biden was doing in Gaza when she was Secretary of State. She did the exact same thing.
Fair enough. But Donald Trump. It's like Netanyahu. Yeah.
Trump is all empty words. I mean, listen, he's crazy. He's an opportunist. He takes advantage of everything that benefits him. I get that. Okay. But the Arabs say this all the time. 4 years of ignorant rhetoric from Donald Trump doesn't even come close to 4 months of Biden's support of massacres in Gaza. That's a hard thing to address. How do you fathom that? Killing versus stupid rhetoric.
I'll say this. Nothing would have been different. And you know this as well as I do.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Trump would have, because he can't stand anybody more powerful. His ego won't allow Benjamin Netanyahu to be more right than him. He would have stepped in. He would have stopped it.
Come on.
You know, Trump's best friend was an Arab. Trump's best friend was a Palestinian Arab who was on his TV show all the time. He was a Palestinian hairdresser who did products that they gave to winners of his TV reality show.
I would hardly call that guy Trump's best friend. Trump, I mean, if you want to go that way, Trump's daughter is Jewish. Trump's son-in-law is going around telling Netanyahu now.
He keeps going to the extreme.
I mean, Donald Trump has never challenged an authoritarian ever, because he's an authoritarian. It's like what they want to do is fine with me. So,
right. I get it. Out there, I get it.
I can understand. I absolutely, Ray, understand people who say, I cannot tolerate Joe Biden because he embraced Netanyahu. I cannot tolerate Joe Biden because he essentially kept selling arms to Israel while the slaughter was going. I understand that. But to say that would be different under Donnie Trump is an act of utter delusion that I can't.
That's easy to say now because he wasn't president when this happened. But I'm going to say that let's take away the personalities and the politics, and you could have two criminals, and one criminal kicks you, the other one shoots you with a gun. And I'm going to say that I'm going to be mad about somebody who helps the guy who shot me more than the guy that helped the guy who kicked me. Because the guy that shot me is going to kill me. The guy that shot me, that kicked me, is going to hurt me. So there is a distinction there. It's the, what's American politics? The lesser of evil. That's what American politics is all about. That's our system. We don't have who's good and who's bad. It's who's less evil. Yeah. Who's a little better than the guy? That's the way we vote for people.
There are people who are good. And generally what happens in America is they are marginalized and demonized, right. So they can't win. So there have been, quote unquote, good politicians in this country, even on the issue of the Middle East. And our American system just crushes them. And so in terms of Donald Trump versus Biden, you're absolutely correct. I cannot say with absolutely any degree of certainty. 100%.
You might be right. He might have, right?
If I had a bet,
would have bet on it, but we don't know that.
Donald Trump, when he ran for re-election in 2020, bragged. Ray, and you know this as well as I do.
Yeah.
Bragged about moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Bragged about it.
Yep. Said, but didn't Biden I have brag done this. That he was. Didn't Biden said, brag that he was a Zionist? I'm more Zionist than a Zionist. That's what Biden said. So I don't know. And again, listen, you and I are two different people. You're an American that people will accept. I'm not an American people will accept. When they find out I'm Palestinian, it is like turning a switch, and they think, oh, you're not American. No, you want to know something? You know how many people have come up to me and said, hey, what you're not American. I go, well, hey, did you serve in the military? No, I don't have to. Well, I served in the military in a war I didn't even want to fight in Vietnam. My brother was a Marine, and my dad and my uncle fought the Nazis for 4 years during World War II. And we get nothing out of it except contempt and disdain. And I can destroy a good political movement just by putting my arms around it, believe me. Because I'm Palestinian, and that's horrible.
Trump, my ace there. There's nothing I can say. In Vietnam?
Go ahead, say it. I watched it. The Mossad clicked off my audio.
Now he's blaming the Mossad. He didn't want to hear that question. I said, time out. Were you served in Vietnam? Did I hear you correctly?
I served during the Vietnam War. I left. I finished my sophomore year at Northern. I went into the U.S. Air Force during Vietnam War. I went to an F-111 base. I trained. I was going to be a field medic. And then Nixon decided not to send any more troops there. So I got stuck stateside. Well, I mean, listen, you know how they treat veterans that don't go overseas? They treat us like garbage.
Okay,
you know, I can't be a VFW member. I can only be an American Legion member.
All right, stop.
I'm just saying.
Don't whine about that. I mean,
I'm just saying.
You were better off, in my humble opinion, for being stateside than if you'd been sent to Vietnam.
But speaking the point was, I went in, and it wasn't my choice. It was their choice not to send me. But yeah, you're better. I was better off. Who knows what would have happened to me?
All right. So do me if it's fine. Vote for Bobby Kennedy. Just don't vote for Trump. All right. Just, okay.
Yeah. Who are we going to vote for? Seriously, who are we going to vote for? What are we going to do? You're going to vote for Biden?
I'm going to vote for Biden. And we had a conversation before. Wait, we're supposed to be talking about the Verdoli Act 29.
That's what this is all about, how politics in this country is so screwed up. You know, let's go back to the city council. These guys.
We'll go back to the city council, but we had a great. It's such dark humor, Rayhan and Nia. But we did this thing about closing the gate after the cow has left. I think it was.
Yes, the cow has left the barn, but it's safe now. The barn is safe.
The barn is safe.
Left in it to protect. But the barn is safe. We saved the barn. Everybody's dead.
Everybody's
dead. And the barn is safe. And that's just horrible that politicians can go that route so easily. But I blame it on the media. I'm sorry, Ben. I blame it on the media. I blame the mainstream media. They go now. They're under pressure. They need revenue. They need money. Pharmaceutical companies. Have you watched the TV lately? 30 of the biggest ads are from pharmaceutical companies. Yeah.
No, I don't watch TV.
That's where the money's coming from.
All right. Let's go back to Verdola at 29. I'm not going down the pharmaceutical. I will say Bernie Sanders.
It's item 18 out of now.
Bernie Sanders, who
I love Bernie.
Big Bernie supporter.
I like Bernie. I love him.
Did you vote for Bernie in 2016 and 2020?
In the primary, I did, but I couldn't vote for him. But he wasn't in the general.
American, its infinite wisdom, decided not to nominate Bernie Sanders in 2016, even though I urged America to do so, which shows you how much clout I have.
They said Bernie was too old and he was too cranky. And I'm thinking, really? Look at today. It's okay. He was a smart. Bernie was a smart guy.
Our mutual friend. In fact, I think we had the debate. You and Monroe were debating Bernie versus Hillary. Remember that?
I couldn't handle Hillary because of Gaza, honestly. Right. Okay. That was the only reason.
I could go on and on about other reasons, but with the Clintons. But I voted for her in 2016 over Trump. All right. So let's go back to Verdola Act 29, the great line you had. It was a funny line. It's progress because there were only 20. There were 29 in the 1980s, and now we're down to 16. So I thought that was a pretty funny line.
And that was the total vote they got in the meeting to strip him. And ironically, Mayor Brandon Johnson, who I think is a great guy, and Sigcho Lopez, who I've only recently gotten to know, they had 29 votes to support him. So it's the Brandon Johnson, Sigcho Lopez, 29, the bizarro world of the opposite of Verdoliak from the Superman comic books, where the Brandon Johnson 29 is now the good group.
Yeah. All right. The 29. I know you figure Verdoliak gave and Burke. Let's not forget him.
Yes,
gave Burke. 29 a bad name, but now Brandon Johnson has revived the number 29.
He took it over.
So let me go back in time a little bit to help people out. In 1983, Harold Washington, the greatest mayor of the city of Chicago, was ever elected. I think Ray will agree with me on that.
Funny guy. He was a good guy.
You don't agree that he's the greatest mayor Chicago's ever had?
Wow. You know, I think he was a good mayor, but I don't know. And it depends on how you define greatest. Did he have good intentions and stuff? I think he had great intentions. Could he get things done? Unfortunately, we never saw it because they held him up for 4 years. And then when he finally got power, he only lasted, a year and a half and then died.
Oh, yeah.
2 years.
Could he get things done is such a Chicago concept. Ladies and gentlemen, if you had any doubts that Ray Hanania was a Chicagoan, could he get things done is the ultimate Chicago. But Ben, how many trees have you planted, huh?
Yes.
That's such how many Chicago.
No. It comes down to how many garbage can lids have you handed out to voters?
This is the whole point. Could he get things done? He's a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat in a city of Democrats. He ran as a Democratic candidate against a guy named Bernie Epton, who was a legitimate moderate Republican. In those days, they had
better
moderate
vote for him before it's too late.
Before it's too late, all of a sudden, lifelong Democrats, white guys, voted for Bernie Epton. It came down. He won by a razor thin majority in 1983. As a Democrat, all the white people basically voted for Epton. Harold Washington took control of city council. Before that, we had this concept of the mayor is the boss, the head of the universe, the leader of our little city. What happened? 28 white guys and one Puerto Rican guy got together under the leadership of Eddie Burke and Eddie Verdoliak. People like to forget that Burke was there. Come on.
Yes, the two Eddies.
Ray Lowe, that was your guy. Yeah. Burke.
And, yeah, even Southwest Cider. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But listen, you and I have one difference.
They oppose him every step of the way. And their, and their theory, as articulated by the intellectual leader of that group, which was who was Richard Mell, was that, follow me on this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the theory that they came up with, that it was better to put up with the short-term losses of sabotaging the Chicago city government if you could turn enough people against Harold Washington on the grounds, as Ray just said, that he couldn't get anything done. Okay? So what we're going to do is essentially extort the mayor. He can't. We won't let him get anything done. And then we're going to go, he couldn't get anything done. I'm a Chicagoan. Go ahead, Ray.
Listen, when Richard J. Daley, the original Daley, was in power, and Blandick followed him, and then Jane Byrne, they had the liberal, the lakefront liberals, Larry Bloom, Marty Oberman, and those guys fought to do the exact same thing that Verdelia 29 tried to do. Now, politically and systematically,
that is so inaccurate. But go ahead.
Well, they tried to do good things. Don't get me wrong. I agreed with a lot of the things that Oberman and Bloom wanted to do.
Are you equating with voting against a particular?
They wanted power.
Wait. Hold on.
Politics is about power.
Are you equating voting against one initiative with blocking every appointment with the idea that if we don't voting against a bond drive that would fix the sidewalks,
it wasn't about the bond drive. It wasn't about the bond drive. It was who was going to direct the bond drive. Eddie wanted his people to do it. Washington wanted his people to do it. You and I disagree about one thing about the Verdoliak 29. I think Verdoliak wasn't a racist in what he did. He used racism. That doesn't excuse him. I guess it does make him a racist. But it wasn't the racism. But it wasn't the racism that said, I want to stop here, Washington.
Hold on. Let me
it was the loss of power.
The issue, let me just correct something you said. The issue wasn't that Doliak wanted Billy Bob to do it as that Harold wanted Joey Joe to do it. Chicagoans, you have to understand this point. This is a very important point. Verdoliak didn't want it done. Verdoliak and Burke and Mel, their idea was if you have a broken sidewalk for 4 years, that will be ultimately in the long term good for the city of Chicago because voters will turn against Harold Washington, as Ray said, because he can't get anything done. So this is very important distinction. It's not that Eddie said, oh, I want Joey Joe to get the contract to fill the sidewalk, as opposed to Harold wanting Billy Bob. No.
Right.
Verdoliak didn't want anyone to fix the sidewalk because he felt a broken sidewalk would hasten the end of Harold Washington's victory. It's not. And so.
But that's what you and I agree then, because they didn't want Harold to fix the sidewalk.
Yes.
He was the mayor. They didn't want him to do it. They wanted it fixed. They wanted to be the people that went to the voters and said, we fix your sidewalk. Harold Washington
would
do it.
They would go to the voters and say, Harold can't fix your
sidewalks. During the election, they would.
Harold can't fix your sidewalks. And this is what happened when you elect a guy like Harold Washington before it's too late. They would fix in the voters' minds that if you elect a black man as mayor, he can't fix the sidewalks. And
They absolutely used it.
They have brainwashed Chicagoans to this day. And you know this as well as I do as a student of Chicago politics. To this day, there are people in the city of Chicago who believe that a white person who's mayor can get a sidewalk fixed faster than a black person who's mayor.
There might be. They elected Rich Daley. They stood with him for 22 years.
Unbelievable.
And he was not the best. He was probably one of the worst mayors we ever had, in my opinion.
This was
a guy that I supported when he was fighting with Jane Byrne because he would call me up and say, wait, I need your help, wait. And I go, what? Do you know that as an Arab, all these Arab tyrants, that's why I like Chicago politics. Because they were like Arab leaders. They could barely speak English. I thought, okay, this guy, Rich Daley, he's great. He's like an Arab leader. I'm going to support him. Oh, but listen, take it back to Tavares and Lopez.
Go ahead.
To me, what they wanted to do was find a way to crack Mayor Johnson's power. Sigcho Lopez, they thought, hey, we got crime, we got bad, you know, poor education, we got all these issues, and maybe we need better transportation, a bad economy, whatever. They thought it was the best issue to bring up that he was at a rally where they burned an American flag. And they knew that that emotional issue might be emotional enough in today's world, the polarization that we exist in. Let's use that emotion to ignite that fire and rally people behind us against the mayor and against and his power, which is through Sigcho Lopez. Let's use that. That's what offended me the most. You know, I'm an American. I served in during the military, so did everybody in my family. Burning an American flag is the essence of being an American. That's the essence of being an American. But it's also very emotional. And that's what they used it for. And I thought that was stupid.
Well, it was. And it's also particularly pathetic and hypocritical in this day and age. And as I've said many times, I haven't said this to you, so I'll say it to you. You'll hear it for the first time. But my listeners have heard this me go off on this oration many times. The notion that there's a special protocol regarding the American flag has been destroyed by MAGA. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. MAGA reserves the right to destroy absolutely every protocol that Democrats feel compelled to swear by, because MAGA feels like they represent the real America, the real Americans. So when they destroy the American flag or they violate the protocol of the American flag, that's okay, because they're doing it on behalf of real America. Democrats feel compelled to uphold every, they got to wear that lapel, the flag, and remember how they got Obama to put the flag on the lapel? They're so afraid of Republicans saying they're un-American. Right now, Donnie Trump at his rallies, Ray, puts that stupid MAGA hat on, and he wears the MAGA hat while the national anthem is playing. You know as well as I do, as a veteran, you're supposed to take that hat off when you do the national anthem.
And yet, the only difference between you and I. I don't have any disagreement with any of the stuff when you're criticizing the far right. I got no problem with that. Right. What I have a problem with you is when you make it sound like the Democrats are better because they put their arm around me and say, Ray, we support Palestinian rights. Ray, we love the Arabs. Ray, we support diversity. Ray, we're going to put Arabs on the census. I go, okay, that's good. Let's do it. So what do? They don't put Arab on the census. They come up with a term called MENA, Middle East and North Africa. Eliminate that four-letter word in our language, Arab. Get that out of the way, because the Democrats hate that word as much as the Republicans. To me, there's no difference. They just do it with a smile. They stab me in my back with a smile.
Hold it. That's a classic pivot. You pulled a Pritzker on me. That was a classic.
Oh, God, don't compare me to Pritzker.
You pulled a Pritzker on me.
Oh, my God, he's the worst.
About one thing, and then he's you knew the I was right. And then you're saying, Ben, you're right.
I'm saying,
you know what?
Listen, from your perspective, you're absolutely right. With the Democrats.
That's not the point I was making. The point I was making was you were saying that there is a principle in America of free, what makes America America is the fact that we have the freedom to do something like burn the flag.
Burn our flag, right.
And that's a great thing about America. And what I was saying specifically was that notion that the American flag is this precious symbol of the United States has been trampled. And only the Democrats feel compelled to play that game, because Republicans feel that they are free to do absolutely anything they want in regard to the American flag. And for all I know, they will burn the flag eventually. If they feel like, right. So you have, that was the point I was making. If you want to go back to the inconsistency of Democrats and Arab voters, that's a whole other conversation.
You're a white man. I thought I was white. Okay. I learned the hard way. I'm not white. I'm hated by everybody. They do not. If I say I'm Palestinian, that's the problem. And that's the problem for me in the Democratic Party. That's why I had a problem with the Democratic Party. It's not that I don't believe in a lot of the principles that they stand for. I do. It's just that I think a lot of times they're hypocritical. And being a hypocrite somebody who puts his hand around me and says, I support you. I cannot live with that. That's like being backstabbed. The Republicans say to my face, they don't like me. I know exactly where they're coming from, and we can talk about it. Democrats, they don't want to talk about it. They want to do me in with a smile. And that's why I'm going to tell you Biden is not going to win, because the Arab voters, we've run away from him. We will not vote knowing that it's going to help Trump, even though we don't like Trump. But they're not going to vote for Biden.
So
we're going to bring the house down.
Okay. We're moving away from Chicago. I'm happy to have this conversation. My feeble attempts to get him to come back to Chicago.
No, let's go back to Chicago.
But let me address this point. This is a good one. The concept that Biden will lose the election. There's so many variables at play here.
Before, it's true. I mean,
November. We're here. We are, and things are so, Ray. You know this. Things are so volatile that, like,
it could change,
I don't even
absolutely
know in October if we can say with any certainty who's going to win in November. But you know, you already admitted you voted for Trump. You're a Republican, Ray. Wait,
and then I voted for Biden. See, that's the interesting thing. You hold it against me, but you hold it against me that I voted for Trump 7 years ago, but you won't hold it against me that I voted for Biden 3 years ago. Why is that? I voted for Biden.
Why would I hold it against you? You voted for Biden.
Right, but you keep saying that I'm a Republican because
you are a Republican.
I'm a conservative Democrat. I am a Reagan Democrat. I'm a conservative Democrat. I'm right. I believe that I'm
Reagan
right.
Reagan Democrats are Republicans. They're just,
I believe
ashamed.
I'm in the middle. I don't accept everybody's views. I don't like everything the left does, and I don't like everything the right does.
Ray, I want
there
you
are
to
views
right
in the middle.
And I'm gonna come on. This is like an AA thing. My name is Ray Hanania, and I'm a Republican. I'm ashamed to admit it. Your boy Johnny.
I'm not a Republican.
The former columnist for the Chicago Tribune, your guy Johnny Cass, not Johnny Cash millennials. That was right. The singer.
John Cass.
K-A-S-S. He'd be, I'm a Republican.
Listen, John,
I'm an independent. I'm like, come on, just say it.
John is a victim of a system that didn't like him because they didn't like his views. In a system that said, we love free speech. In a journalism industry that said everybody had the right to write what they want. And it wasn't about favoritism. It was about good writing. John was a good writer. I love the guy. And I say that about a guy who tubed me and helped me lose my job at the Sun-Times.
Wait,
because of his stories.
Your loyalty to Johnny Cass is amazing. But you say what... Look, you're allowed to say what you want, but to call John Cass a victim, how many years did he have that prime job at the Tribune making all that money? I'm sorry, Ray Hanania. And then they moved him to Page, whatever.
To like punish him. They didn't like him.
Oh, that's punishment. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, listen.
Poor victim. And then he was like, poor me. I got moved to where Eric Zorn. I never heard Eric Zorn crying. He was over.
Well, always,
Clarence Page never cried. Oh, poor me. I'm on the editorial page.
I think every one of them would have loved to have had the attention that John Cass had. Okay. Cass had the platform. Why didn't, instead of moving Cass, if they didn't like his views, why didn't they put somebody up next to him and offer something else? But that's not what the liberals and the Democrats do.
Liberals?
They don't want to just balance
the Tribune. We're talking about the Chicago liberals.
Yes. Yeah.
If this man is not a Republican,
say
my name is Ray Hanania. I'm a Republican. I can't help myself.
Football has been good to me.
All right, Ray. That is unbelievable. John Cass, victim. For how many years? He's making good money off the Tribune.
I'm going to tell you. That's my opinion. I felt that they didn't like his. They didn't like what he wrote. They went after him because of that. And there were other colleagues. I never, in all my years of journalism, there were a lot of reporters that stood by me, Jewish reporters too, that would say, why are we picking on Ray Hanania? I'd write a column about being Arab, and everybody would go berserk. The editors at the paper would go berserk. But the reporters always stood with me and said, well, how can we let someone who's Jewish write a column about being Jewish? Why not an Arab? So there were a lot of journalists that I think if we got to get rid of the politics, and we couldn't do it out of journalism. Journalism is politics today, isn't it?
I'm just going to say this, John Cass, if you're listening, you better send some flowers to Ray Hanania. You didn't stand by him in 92.
No, he didn't.
When he lost his job at the Sun-Times, but he's still standing by you. Unbelievable.
I'm going to say what is right, even about that somebody that I had a difference with. Mark Brown was another. Mark Brown was a great guy. He tubed me during that Jackie Mason thing. And I felt you guys went for the...
Wait, time out. Hold it.
Story was more acceptable.
We have to explain
what happened.
The Jackie Mason thing. Because we've already alluded to it twice, and I realize a lot of my listeners don't even know who Jackie Mason is.
Isn't that sad? I don't know.
So Ray Hanania and I, we don't agree on politics. He's a Republican, and I'm a Democrat. But that's
fine. Don't call me Republican. Call me conservative. I'll accept that. I won't push back. Conservative. But I am not. I voted Democratic almost every election. Except one time, I think, when there was no Democratic race in the suburbs. But I've always voted Democratic. So just call me conservative, because it upsets me that you call me a Republican.
1984, did you vote for Richard Brezak or Richie Daley for state's attorney?
Richie Daley.
Wow, what a memory. I give you credit for even having a memory.
My columns, I was the only guy that would write anything nice about Richie Daley.
Wait, come on. One more time, Ray. Please do the Daley imitation when he would call you. One more time.
Wait, could you write this for me? Yes, Rich, I can do that. It is funny. Right. You know what? We beat up on a lot of people, and he's no different. He was a hypocrite. But
wow.
He was. You know, the Daleys are funny. They're great when they're not in power. But when they get in power, they're completely different. They were different.
I can't think of it when the Dailies weren't in power. So that's, I just.
That's
I,
for, trying... 45 years over
all
what?
Right. The last... Jack Mason. So before we, all right. I don't know if we'll ever get back to Verdoliak. And Jackie Mason was a comedian who had a big burst of popularity. God, Ray, I want to say in the 90s. I've lost track.
The 80s and
revival,
90s.
90s. And he had been kicked. Remember, he kind of got blacklisted when he pissed off Ed Sullivan back in the 60s?
Yes.
He had a revival, and he was very Jewish in his humor. It was his humor. I think he was a
popular
rabbi.
In Caddyshack. He was from Wisconsin.
No, you're mixing him up with Rodney Dangerfield.
No. Jackie Mason was in Caddyshack also. He was he was part of that. He was part of it. That's where I remember him from. He was in a lot of movies, Chicken Soup, all kinds. One Angry Man. He had all kinds of stuff.
Was there a Caddyshack 2 that I'm unaware
of? Yes, Caddyshack 2.
All right, I'm going to look. I did not know about the Caddyshack. I saw first Caddyshack. All right, hold on. I'm looking this up. Caddyshack. I'm almost positive that you're mixing up. Here we go. Caddyshack. I am correct. Caddyshack, Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Ted Knight, Michael O'Keefe, Bill Murray, Sarah Holcomb, Cindy Morgan.
He was a real estate tycoon in Caddyshack 2.
Oh, Caddyshack 2. Okay.
That's why I said Caddyshack 2. Sorry. I said.
Anyways.
Let me write a retraction on page 48. I'll bury it at the bottom of the page 48. I meant to say Caddyshack 2, not 1.
No, I never saw Caddyshack 2. That's my problem.
That's probably because it didn't do very well.
He was very popular, and he was also very much a Zionist, pro-Israel.
Well, he would co-write a column with another attorney, a Jewish attorney. Jackie Mason was Jewish. They would write this very right-wing column attacking the Palestinians all the time. I can't remember the attorney's name at this time, but it was very, it was run in a lot of newspapers.
I think the attorney's name is Donald Trump.
No.
Just kidding.
It might have been, though. It could have been, but no, it wasn't.
And So anyway, oh God, this is ancient history, but Ray is a comedian, a stand-up comedian, in addition to being a writer and a publicist and a Republican. I just snuck that last one in there, Ray. You're in denial. And at some point you were going to open for Jackie Mason.
Well, here's what it was. Here's what it was. Right, so after September 11th, I would be getting these nasty emails and calls about, you know, why do I hate America, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, and, you know, my wife is Jewish and I'm Palestinian. I said, hey, we got a great life. Why don't I take this on the stage, turn to comedy to help people understand that Arabs are not bad people? So I started doing comedy. Zanies loved me. They said, an Arab comedian married to a Jew? Put him on stage. So Zanies put me on stage. I had my own show. They finally gave me my first week. I'd only been doing comedy 3 months, one whole week in over, I think it was Labor Day weekend in 2002 was my show. And Jackie Mason called Zanies and said, hey, I have a new show coming up on Broadway. I need a place to practice. Can I come in for a few days? I said, yeah, why don't you take over four of Ray's shows at Zanies? He'll open for you and you can do your practice. And they called me and said, Ray, do you got a problem with Jackie Mason? He's Jewish. I said, no, I got no problem with him. But make sure you tell him I am Palestinian. Because I don't know if you've read the newspapers lately, but Palestinians and Jews do not get along all the time. They said, oh, this is comedy. It has nothing to do with Palestinians and Israelis and Jews and Arabs. This, don't even worry about it. The night of the show, he's going to open his first show. Somebody calls him and says, you know, Ray Hanania isn't just an Arab. He's a Palestinian. So Jackie Mason gets up on stage and said, Ray Hanania is not going to open for me because nobody told me he was Palestinian. And then his wife, who was his manager, put out a statement to the Associated Press. We didn't know he was Palestinian. And I went to Zanies. I said, you guys, I told you. And they said, well, it's your fault because you tried to publicize this comedy show. I said, yeah, isn't that what we do?
Yeah. How many years ago was this?
2002.
My bad. It was after 2011.
International headlines.
Yeah.
People in India were reading about it. Arab and a Jew fighting on a comedy stage. Only in America.
Only in America. We had a similar thing, Ray and I, about 2 weeks ago, where he called me for a quote about Rahm Emanuel. Then he was arguing my quote wasn't strong enough.
It wasn't.
I had a flashback.
Rahm was the most anti-Arab mayor that the city of Chicago ever had, and he's now the ambassador in Japan. And I write for a paper called Arab News in the Middle East, and they have a big Japanese edition in English, Arabic, and Japanese. And they said, can you tell us what Rahm Emanuel did to the Arab community in Chicago so the Japanese people know what kind of guy he is? And I said, I would be happy to. And I did that. And I wrote the column.
He wrote the column.
He did terrible things to us.
But for some reason, he wanted my quote in there as well. So you called me up for a quote. That's not good enough. Can we have a better quote?
Yours was deep into the pages of a philosophical, political. I'm not sure I could have expressed one concept in 20. It would have taken me 30 sentences. You got to be able to say it in one line. I needed one line from you.
There you go.
You gave me like 30 sentences, I think, to say
I gave you this. Ben, can you boil it
Believe
down?
Me. Ben, but you inspired me, though, Ben. You inspired me. Your quote did inspire me for that story.
But you didn't quote me, didn't you?
I think I did. Yes, I did. I managed to eke out a...
You eked out. You called me like twice, Ben.
I said, "Here, I'm going to use this. Is this okay?" You go, "Yeah, okay." So I put that in there. It was a good quote.
No, I think my response to what you used was the one you used. Neither here nor there. Like you said,
it was good.
The quote. Anyway, you're here.
People in Japan are asking themselves today: Ben Jarofsky, he loves Arabs. Ben Jarofsky is anti-Semitic.
All right, back to Vrdoljak, it got me thinking, like, what are the differences between the Vrdoljak 29, the Burke Vrdoljak 29, not Burke off the hook, and the Tabarez Lopez 16, And by the way, here's a trivia question for you. What political journalist was Alderwoman Tabaris's teacher at Columbia College? You'll never guess.
I don't know.
My dear friend Mick Dumke.
Wow.
Professor or teacher. Yeah.
It goes back.
Yeah. Journalism class. All right. Neither here nor there. And I feel as though that there was more honesty on the part of the Vrdoljak Burke. And this kind of gets into what you were saying about Republicans, how they treat Arabs. They let you know they can't stand you up front. And so you right. can deal with that. Okay. All right. If Vrdoljak Burke and Mal made it clear they were going to fight Harold Washington all the way, they thought it was definitely in their best interest, politically speaking, to reaffirm white people's belief that a black person cannot run the city, and so they were going to sabotage him every step of the way in order to win in 1987, and then white people would never, ever, ever vote for a black person again. Which essentially happened after Harold died, and Daley got in, and white people said, "Oh, that's it. We're sticking with Daley, no matter what he calls Ray Hanania." That's
of course,
it.
You know, I disagree with you a little bit, but you know, they would support a black mayor. You know, Mayor Sawyer.
They didn't wasn't support about, mayor. They voted
they
against
put
Mayor
Sawyer up. They put oh, Sawyer about, up as mayor.
Yeah,
he was the black that they would support, and as a seat warmer. For Rich Daley to
That's
come
exactly
back to power.
Right. They supported him with the notion that he would be easier to beat. That was their they weren't going to support him. They couldn't.
They kept out Wilson Frost, you know, after Richard J. Daley died. Remember, they shut the door on him. They locked him out of City Hall. They didn't want. I totally understand that race was a driving factor with the Vrdoljak 29. But, you know, being a City Hall
factor,
yes, I was a City Hall reporter. I would see when the cameras were off and when Vrdoljak and Washington were off to the side, they were friends. They joked with each other. They talked with each other. The reporters, we never reported on that. It was like reporting on a reporter who was having sex with somebody. We didn't write about that stuff. We didn't embarrass ourselves, and we didn't embarrass the public narrative of what was happening that we were selling to the public. So those two guys got along great.
I would never say in a million years that Eddie Vrdoljak and Harold Washington were friends. They may have exchanged.
It was much deeper.
They may have exchanged from time to time.
What you saw in public was awkward.
But they were not friends. I know Harold Washington and Vrdoljak had no connections before Harold became mayor. They came from two political movements. From two different political communities.
Yep.
In a million years, Eddie Vrdoljak, if he was a friend with Harold Washington, would have immediately endorsed him, knowing full well.
Not that kind of friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Friendly. Right. Let's just say friendly.
They could at times be friendly. They got along.
I'm telling you, when the lights were off.
No.
We saw it all the time.
I do not deny that they shared moments. If I were in the city council, I would not be fighting with Eddie Vrdoljak all the time. From time to time, I'd pat him on the back. And go.
Listen, Washington hated other people more than he hated Vrdoljak.
Yeah, like
he hated he hated Mike Sneed at the Ink Column.
Oh, do not.
He would refer to her in a terrible way all the time.
And
I'll
bet you if he saw her, he would go, "Hi, Mike Sneed."
I don't think so. Okay. Listen, I'm just saying there was something there. I'm not denying that race wasn't the main fuel of that fight. Race was. It was. I saw it as being exploited as an instrument, and I'm sure that at least half the aldermen were racist. I don't believe all of them were racist. I don't believe somebody, every white person in Chicago is a racist, but they sure react to race. They really do.
All right. So going back to the similarities and the differences between Burke, Vrdoljak, and Tabaris Lopez, I believe Burke, Vrdoljak, and Mel and the rest of them were more honest or more upfront about what their purpose was. And their purpose was to drive Harold Washington from power.
Right. That's kind of like the Republicans with the Arabs. Okay, go ahead.
yes, exactly. And I believe, whereas Tabaris and Lopez are not as upfront.
Right.
They're fronting for
this is politics.
They want him out.
Yes.
And either one of them will run, either maybe Lopez has ambitions to run for mayor.
Yes, it's pure politics.
They will get behind Conway when he runs.
Or somebody else.
With the notion that Conway or whoever, it looks like Conway's the guy they're going to go with because Vallis failed. And that with the notion that they will then be like finance chair or some. But they're pretending like they're doing this thing because, we respect the flag.
They don't care about the flag. It was phony. It was all emotion, and it was terrible. And that's why these two people who up till then I really got along with, but when they crossed that line, it was like, come on, you guys. First of all, it's stupid to use that, to fearmonger using the American flag. Come up with a real issue. Come up with a real issue and throw it on the floor and fight for it. I could get behind that. You know, I like Brandon Johnson. I think he's a decent person. That doesn't mean I agree with everything that he does. I'm sure there are going to be some things that I don't agree with. But so far, I agree with a lot of what he did. Thanks to him, the ceasefire resolution went through. I shouldn't have been surprised. And thanks to them, it almost didn't go through. The very people that I thought were the good people were stopping something that meant so much to me, not just personally, but on principle, morality. They're killing people. Stop the killing. How could you not stand up and say, stop the killing? Whether it's in Gaza or Mexico or wherever, Ukraine, the hypocrisy to me is much worse of a crime, even more so than racism, because I can understand how racism comes out of fear. People that don't understand or know who blacks were. Well, I lived in white flight. I wrote a book about it. It's online. It's called Midnight Flight. And we lived on the southeast side by Pill Hill. And overnight, one black family moved on our block, and every white family within 6 months moved out of that area. I moved out. We moved out, and we went to Bogan, and I was there 2 weeks. And the principal of Bogan said, oh, you're not white. You're out of here. They kicked me out. That's the first time I realized I wasn't white.
What high school had you gone to?
Bowen High School.
Oh, wait. You went from you changed
Little
consonants.
Flower and then Rest.
W to G.
Bowen to Bogan.
Bowen to Bogan.
Little
Bowen
Flower is where I really learned, about the goodness in people at Little Flower. And then I graduated from Revis High School in Burbank, because we were forced to move out of the Bogan High School area. Once they kicked you out for racial reasons, you couldn't go back to any school in that area. You had to move into a new school district.
Yeah, Bogan Broads. That's when I first moved to Chicago.
Yes.
It was the Bogan Broads. I'd never seen anything. Anyway, and you're right. I'm not from Chicago. We started by saying that. So this was all a revelation to me, like the concept. The Bogan Broads, ladies and gentlemen, were
women from Bogan High School, from the PTA, Parent Teachers Organization.
And they called themselves the Bogan Broads.
Yes, they did. They were proud of it.
They were proud of it, and they were just adamantly anti-black.
And then Jane Byrne appointed two of them to the school board, and that set off Harold Washington's, that gave him the foundation for African-American voters to abandon her and to support Harold.
Well, I would say Harold, that started the effort, really pushed it a high gear to find, to recruit Harold to run. If Harold was not ready to run, he wouldn't want to leave Congress. He needed proof. But you're absolutely correct. This is ancient history, but we might as well do it. Let me throw this by before we're almost out of time. This is the most unstructured show of all time. That's okay.
I've turned 15 minutes of fame into like 4 hours and 50 minutes. Okay.
John Cass, if nothing else, I want the flowers delivered to Ray. He stood by you, even though you deserted him in 91 and 92 with the Miriam Santos stuff. All right. Yep. So in 1981, Jane Byrne moved into Cabrini Green.
Right.
And it was a very highly publicized maneuver. And it was her attempt to shine a spotlight on crime in Cabrini Green and show that she was sympathetic with the people right. who lived there.
Pandering to blacks.
Right.
You wanted to pander to the black vote. What they told the media not to write about, and the media didn't write about, was that they had to cut a tree down so that she could get her limousine as close to the door as possible okay. so she didn't have to walk the half a block to the building where she lived from right. the parking lot.
So immediately, and I'll use race term, upon pandering to blacks, she and her brain trust concluded that the black vote was locked up. For the 83 re-election run, having successfully, to use race terms, pandered to black voters. And so what she had to worry about was the white vote, because Richie M. Daley, then the state's attorney, was already lining up to run against her. So what did she do? She made a move to pander to the whites by picking some
the Bogan Brides.
Yes, to sit on the school board.
Betty Bono.
People on, and so... What unbelievable move. It's this only well, her, a Chicago listen, move.
And you got to remember, with the white voters, there were two white voter blocks, the Northwest side and the Southwest side. Daley was from the Southwest side. She was lace curtain Irish from the North side. He was from the South side, the shanty Irish. And she knew that he had a big base among white voters yes. on the Southwest side of the city. So she really felt she had the white voters on the Northwest side, and she turned to the Bogan Broads and appointed them to the school board to satisfy those Southwest side whites, but it didn't work.
And no, it didn't work. And by the way, the Cabrini Green move was long forgotten once she made that. So whatever votes she picked up by quote unquote pandering to the blacks voters by moving to Cabrini Green, she lost when she quote unquote pandered to the Southwest side voters by appointing a Boga Broad to the CPS school board. And so we're running out of time. So what I'll do is invite Ray back, and we'll talk about one of our favorite politicians, Robert Shaw, the alderman of the Ninth Ward.
Oh, I got great stories about him. He's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. But he lost. Because he thought Jane Byrne is going to win re-election.
My best story came from him when I walked him over to the city seal, and I said, look at this seal. He goes, what about it? I said, it's racist. He goes, it is. I said, yes. Look in the windows of that boat. Who's looking out of those windows, rowing the boat for that boat to get the white man over there to greet the Native American? It's your people. The black people are in that boat. That seal is racist. And he goes, damn, that is a racist city seal. And Daley went berserk over that.
Are you telling me you're the reason, Robert?
I admit it.
Wow.
I admit it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end it there with an admission.
It was a slow news day.
It was a slow
news.
He admitted to
that.
Don't
tell me you didn't know that it was a Chicago Tribune reporter that got the age raised for the liquor from 18 to 21. Don't tell me you didn't know that. The city council passed that because of a reporter at the Tribune who said it's a slow news day and told John Madrick, you need to introduce this bill. It will make front page headlines.
Which you know what? I didn't know that it was a Chicago Tribune reporter. What year was that?
That would have been, it had to be like in 1981.
All right. Ray Hanania, thank you very much. And congratulations on the Lopez 16, even though you didn't originally call it that. I'm going to have to give you credit, though, every time, because I'm an honest guy.
Tabarez Lopez 9.
That was his original.
And listen, Sergio Lopez, honestly, he's a great guy. He is principled. He does what he believes in. He does it, and it doesn't matter what people think of him, and I admire that in him, and that I was so proud that I was able to write something good, you know, for him and Brandon Johnson. I admire them for doing what was the right thing against an avalanche of people that didn't want it done. They did it anyway.
Yeah.
That's heroism in my book.
All right, very good. You check out, ladies and gentlemen, the conversation I had with Byron Sixto Lopez. It dropped yesterday, outstanding stuff. Thank you very much, Ray. And thanks, also want to thank producer Chris, he does an outstanding job, and I'm sure Ray Han and Neil agree with me when I say, hey, producer yes. Chris, give yourself a raise, take it out of petty yes. cash. Peace and love, everybody.
And catch previous Benny J shows, bonus interviews, columns from Benjamin, and even more at chicagoreader.com. You can follow Ben on Instagram at Benny J Show. And don't forget to tell your friends, like, subscribe, and follow The Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.